Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Well, we're going to get straight into the Word of God this morning. Of course, last week I spoke to you that we are moving into the book of Acts this year. And we want to draw from the book of Acts. I believe that it's something that the Holy Spirit is really stirring our church about. I've been preaching about Acts chapter 6, ever widening circles. I hope it's been a blessing to you. But today what I want to do is I actually want to speak about something that's really been stirring in my heart. And I have to be honest with you, it's probably a subject that I've not preached on in quite a number of years. And that is, today I want to preach on the subject of spiritual gifts. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, could you please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we are going to read from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. When you've got it, can I have a good amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Everyone say spiritual gifts. Oh, come on, church, with a bit of passion. Spiritual gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, look at what he says. I do not want you to be ignorant. Now this week, I decided to do a bit of an experiment. My experiment was that I would go through every single chapter in the book of Acts. Of course, there's 28 chapters in the book of Acts. And I decided to pull out anything that had a supernatural connection. So, for example, the layman at the gate, beautiful, fetching Peter out of the jail, and just the supernatural acts of God. And so little by little, I journeyed through the 28 chapters of the book of Acts. And in my little experiment, I discovered that if you pulled out all the supernatural acts in the book of Acts, that we would be left with a book in the Bible that was incomplete, flawed, and blemished. That is, it would not be intact. It spoke to me that our Christian faith, church, is a supernatural faith. We have not called to live ordinary lives, but we are a people that has been called by God to outwork supernatural acts. Can you say amen? The Apostle Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant. Interestingly to know that this is in fact Paul's favorite phrase. Some translations say, don't be uninformed, don't be misinformed, don't err, don't be wrong when it comes to your understanding of spiritual gifts. The Greek word that's used there for the word ignorant is agneo, which where we get the English word agnostic from. Someone who's an agnostic believes but doesn't believe. They're kind of in the middle of the existence of God. They're unwilling to commit to an opinion about something. So Paul says concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. I want you to have an understanding. I want you, watch this, to have a fixed understanding about spiritual gifts. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. And today we are going to be looking at the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Now there are 3 categories of the gifts of the Spirit. There are the ascension gifts, the 9 gifts of the Spirit, the motivational gifts. We'll talk about that as the years roll on. Today we're talking about the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And tonight I'll be preaching on the gift of prophecy. Because there seems to be an emphasis out of the 9 gifts on the gifts of prophecy or the gift of prophecy. And so we're going to lean in that tonight in faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, Paul says, there are a diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to, watch this, each one for the profit of all. Now here we go. For to one is given the word of wisdom, so nine gifts through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So we see the Apostle Paul teaching and speaking to us about the nine gifts. The word gift that's used there is the word, the Greek word charisma, where we get the word charisma from. So essentially what we're talking about, it's a gift of grace. That is, you can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's something that's actually miraculously given to us by God that the people of God are called to operate in. You can take these nine gifts and you can basically break them up, into three categories of three. Essentially, what you have is the gifts to say, or you could call it the vocal gifts. The vocal gifts are prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Come on, who's enjoying this morning? I know I've got some Pentecostal people in the house this morning. Then we've got the gifts to know. In other words, the gift or gifts around revelation, that is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Then lastly, there's gifts to do, or you could call them the power gifts. Any power gift people out there this morning? That is the gift of faith, the gift of healings. It's plural. So the Lord wants to heal many situations. And the working of miracles. Now, I do need to say that the gifts of the Holy Spirit have been given to build the church. They're not there to make us look good in front of people. They're not there for self-elevation. They're not there for showmanship. They are there to build people's lives and the hope that these gifts can be used to also win the lost. So essentially, we could say that these gifts help us to actually minister the love, life, and power of Jesus Christ. How? Through the supernatural. Now, watch what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. He says that we are to earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly desire. He says to us, you are to desire, church, come on, you are to desire the gifts of the Spirit. But we've got a problem. And the problem is the next part of the verse that people have misunderstood for so many years. And instead of the gifts of the Spirit being a natural part of our lives, because of this next part of the verse and a misunderstanding around this next part of the verse, Paul goes on to say, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Some of your translations say a better way. The very next verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, which was potentially spoken at your wedding, and it's called the love chapter. So essentially what people have done is they've said, Paul has said, I'm going to show you a more excellent way, a better way. The gifts are good, but there's a better way. And the better way, Paul says, is focus on love. So what people have done is people have taken 1 Corinthians chapter 13 or the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and they say, gifts are important, but love reigns supreme. Now, I want to declare to you today that there is no conflict. I'm going to talk about this morning. There is no conflict between gifts and love. In fact, I believe that it is something that the enemy has actually used to teach people a thought or a strategy so that we would move away from what is supposed to be a natural part of our Acts chapter 1 to 28 life, that is Christianity in action through the supernatural. There is no conflict between gifts and love. And I need to say this morning, whilst we're talking about it, that gifts are not in opposition to love. I don't know if you've ever had an unfriendly neighbor before. I had an unfriendly neighbor in Adelaide. I'm a very friendly person. I'm a good neighbor. But my neighbor in Adelaide, we called her Smoker Lady. Smoker Lady would come and sit on her porch where my kid's trampoline is and where my kitchen window was. And she decided that her Winnie Blue and her and their buddies would come through into my kitchen because maybe she believed that Pastor Brad was to take up smoking as well. So over time, my unfriendly neighbor, Smoker Lady, well, let's just say she was a chain smoker. I don't know why she couldn't have puffed her Winnie Blues in her own home. She wanted it to drift into my kitchen. So I knocked on the door of Smoker Lady, and I was kind. I said, "My name is Brad. I'm your neighbor. She works shift work, so we hardly saw her." I said, "Would it be okay if, my kids is coming in the kitchen?" Guess what she did? She slammed the door on me. I know, I'm still hurting. You're just like, you're shocked, I'm hurting as well. She did not talk to me for the whole time that we lived in that house in Adelaide. I thought I'd been nice and just kind of been friendly. You know, the enemy has tried to take gifts and love and he shut the door. He has tried to get us to believe that if you become a person who has an understanding of the gifts of the Spirit, that you forfeited character. And we hear sayings, which I actually do believe is a good saying, but people have used it to create a conflict between the gifts of the Spirit and love, character before gifting. Now, I do believe you need good character for the gifting to flow and to operate out of. I'm definitely not against that. But I want to declare to you today and set you free from what has been a wrong teaching that the gifts of the Spirit and love are in fact intimately connected. So let's talk about that this morning. Are you getting something out of this today? Number one, gifts or spiritual gifts are a way by which love is made effective. Now, we have a course in our church on Sunday afternoons called Right Believing. It's our new believers course. The reason why it's called Right Believing is because, run by Con under Pastor Tim, is because we believe that right believing leads to right living, amen, which eventually leads to effective living. We need to recognize this morning that the gifts, when we operate in the gifts, what we are doing is we are providing a pathway or a way for love to be distributed to hurting and broken people who are in need. So let me put it this way. Just reading some of my bits and pieces this week, I came across a great little thought, a little paragraph to help us understand when Paul says, earnestly desire the best gifts, and I show you a more excellent way. Look at what the pulpit commentary says about this verse. Let's put it up. The verse means, I show you one supreme way of attaining them. I bid you desire the best gifts. So best gifts are not like one's more important than each other. What it's saying is in any given situation, desire what the best gift is for that situation. So if someone's got a sore knee and they need prayer, don't come with interpretation of tongues. That's just bizarre. That's just weird. We're talking about healing. Healing is the best gift for that situation. If someone's discouraged, you're not going to come to them and say, you need healing on your knee. No, what they need is a word of prophecy to edify, to exhort, and to encourage. Yeah? So the best gift. Anyway, I got sidetracked. And further show you a truly, here we go, royal road. A road par excellence, which leads to their attainment. So what the writer is telling us is that the way of love leads to the operation of the gifts. They are not in opposition to each other. Through love and having a heart for people is the way to attain them and a way to see spiritual gifts flow and come into fruition. Now, when I moved to Sydney, let me put it this way, I had to learn to use trains. In Adelaide, you don't use trains because if you use a train, it means that you actually can't afford a car. And so there's some, people who, all kinds of wonderful things go on. So in Sydney, when I jumped on the train, there is a thing called a train track. So you got all this power, right, coming into the train, into the engine of the train, but the train track keeps it on track so you can go from one destination to another. We don't just want the power. What we want is the track that takes it from one destination to another, which is love. So you need the gifts and you need love. In fact, you could almost say that 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, is written because of a misuse of spiritual gifts. So Paul's saying, when you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, love is kind. Love is patient. It doesn't promote. So, man, have you seen my, I prayed for 7 knees. I've got like 7 out of 7 success. Love is not proud. It's because of our heart for people through love on the train track that the gifts of the Spirit operate. Can you say amen? So Paul's goal is to show the Corinthians that the only proper use for the gifts is through love. So let's put it this way. The gifts are channels, here we go, by which divine love flows. So let me give you an example. In my youth ministry days, I'm preaching at a youth camp. Whilst I'm preaching at the youth camp, I prayed, I fasted, I asked the Lord to use me at this youth camp. In the first meeting, the youth camp started with a morning meeting. I was probably 25, 26 at the time, just a couple of years ago. And while I was preaching, the Holy Spirit starts, for me, out of the 9 gifts, one of the gifts that seem to flow for me is the word of knowledge, right? So word of knowledge is supernatural knowledge, supernatural understanding of something, right? So this girl's kind of like 3rd, 4th row, and as I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit says, tell her that this week she made a significant decision. And Christ, the Lord, our God, He is so pleased with her for making that decision. And so I'm preaching and this word of knowledge is kind of like bubbling up, it's rising up. And the Holy Spirit's like, tell her, tell her, tell her. And then about 15, 20 minutes into the sermon, I said, look, I just got to just give someone a word this morning. I said, okay, you sitting over there, I just felt God put this on my heart, that this week you made a very, very significant decision. And this is what I feel God saying. Father God is so proud of you for making that decision. Man, this girl, she started like crying and it was all happening. They're bringing the tissues. And I later found out at the end of the meeting that she was engaged to be married to a person that was not serving God. It wasn't well. Her parents were upset. There was issues in the family. And so she decided, I want to serve Jesus. I don't want to marry someone who, you know, she's unequally yoked to. She wants to marry someone who wants to serve God with all of their heart. And so she decided, I don't think I want to marry you. And that week, that was her significant decision. So you can see that, let me ask you this question, is that an evidence and a flow of God's love? And the answer is absolutely yes. We see the love of God flowing when we operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And so Paul is trying to teach us that when we express the gifts, we are in fact reflecting Christ's heart and his character. Amen. Now, let's go back to the verse 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Paul says that we are to pursue love, watch this, and desire spiritual. Did it say or and? Paul says, pursue love. Have a heart for people. Bleed for people. Weep with those who weep. Care for people. But let spiritual gifts, not or, and desire spiritual gifts. You know, the Greek word that's used there for the word desire actually literally means burn with zeal for spiritual gifts. Come on, the Lord's not against spiritual gifts. The Lord says, the Bible tells us that we are to burn with zeal for spiritual gifts. Come on, when you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, it is an expression of God's love. Watch this, that acts. Come on, it's called acts for a reason. It's not just the feeling we have. Come on, faith without a corresponding action is dead. It's the book of Acts. We are out working. We are ministering. We are blessing. We are edifying. Watch this. It is love in action. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on, you're very quiet on me this morning, church. I hope this is encouraging you. This expression of love. James chapter 1 verse 16 says, don't be deceived. It says, don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Watch this. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. Come on. You are operating in love because you are reflecting in something that has come from above. God is love. His unchanging character. Amen. Come on. God is not only the source of the good gifts, he is the very source of the giving impulse that we feel to be a blessing to others. And so this grace gift that the Holy Spirit wants to bring and cause about to overflow and bubble over in our lives is to give of Christ's image within us towards others. Man, this is a good sermon this morning. Come on, Holy Spirit. Wow. Number two, God-given tasks require God-given equipment. If we're going to touch this world, there's need out there. Come on, there is great need out. We cannot do it in our own strength or our own ability. We need God-given equipment. Come on, can you say amen? Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. The Lord said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, ever-widening circles, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. If we're going to take the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sin, and he rose again, that there is forgiveness and love and acceptance in him. If we are going to take it to a broken world, this God-given task needs God-given equipment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, here we go, This is not for all the superstars in the house this morning. Come on, it's not for all the people who seem to kind of have it all together. Paul says that these gifts have been distributed to each one. Come on, are you sitting next to an each one this morning? You are sitting, you can flow in the gifts of the Spirit according to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing, oh, no way, not again, to each one. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God, come on, church, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Here's the motivation. Use them well to serve one another. How awesome is that? Use them well to serve one another. Number three, the gifts lift us above the realm of our natural ability. Come on, signs follow those who go. You can't follow a parked car. Come on, the Lord wants to lift us above the realm of our natural ability. So a couple of years ago, when I was invited to preach at the National Assemblies of God AOG conference in Papua New Guinea, I think it was about 42 at the time, I went over there and I think Shane Martin was with me actually. And so he came over with me, and the Assemblies of God in Papua New Guinea had gone through some difficult times. In fact, they had not had a national conference where all their pastors came together for more than 10 years. And it was some difficulty, and I'm kind of, you know, this one's against this one. A lot of division. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. It was just really unhealthy. And so I go over to Papua New Guinea, and I'm the, you know, the guest speaker for this conference. And you go into the first meeting, and oh man, it's just, you know, there's no unity, right? There's an issue with unity. And the Word of God is clear, you know, that the Lord expects unity. In fact, the Scripture says He commands a blessing, life forevermore. It's like oil, the flow of the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, this meeting's got no flow. Because everyone's like, you know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and this and that. First conference in more than 10 years, just had some real troubles. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, there's a key to this meeting. There's a key in the supernatural. Come on, Holy Spirit, there's always a key. Come on, Spirit of God, what are you saying? What is it that you want to do? What's your plan? What's your purpose? You love these pastors. There were thousands of pastors there. You love them, Lord Jesus. Show me. So I'm in this first meeting, and about 5-6 rows back, I'm preaching. They're also checking me out because he's 42. He's preaching at a national, and particularly in their culture, where's his gray hair? I had no hair. I was hoping that would help. But I knew there was a key. And as I'm preaching, there's an elderly man sitting about 4 or 5 rows back, just blended in with the crowd. And the Holy Spirit says this to me. Come on, word of knowledge, just a stirring in the Spirit, a bubbling up. The Holy Spirit says, see that man there? Get him up on the platform and get all the pastors to give him a standing ovation. I'm like, but Lord, imagine if he used to be an axe murderer, you know? I mean, I believe in forgiveness, but that's a whole new level, you know? You know, and the stirring, the Spirit of God's like, get him up. So I stopped the meeting. I said, sir, you know, he kind of had a funky afro vibes, you know, it was like, and I said to him, oh, sir, is there a possibility that you'd be able to come and join me on the platform? People are like, you know, I can see something shifted in the atmosphere. And I said to all the pastors, pastors, I don't know who this man is, but could we all please stand up and give him the biggest clap of appreciation and encouragement? All of a sudden in the atmosphere, pastors start crying, they start weeping, pastors start going on their knees as they experience this divine moment of God's glory and anointing that came into the meeting. I start prophesying over him. I said to him, "Sir, I have no idea who you are, but I want you to know that we honor you, we bless you, we love you, we thank you." What I came to realize at the end of the meeting, that he was one of the founding fathers of Pentecostal Christianity in Papua New Guinea. And in fact, he was the longest serving member of the National Executive of the Assemblies of God in Papua New Guinea for many, many years. And he was a spiritual father in that nation. And he had hundreds of spiritual sons and daughters right across the nation. Where did that come from? That was the gifts of the Spirit in operation, moving and ministering and bringing change to circumstances, to people's lives. We need the gifts of the Spirit. Can you say amen? So Father, I thank you today for the overflow of your Spirit. If the musos and singers could come and join me, please, that would be fantastic. I thank you today, Father, that you're stirring us in the gifts. I thank you today, Holy Spirit, that you're moving us. You're asking us to have a sensitivity to the gifts and the flow of the Holy Spirit. Just while the musos and singers are coming up, I just want to give an opportunity this morning. You can look this way, and that is for people that are here today, and maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal friend. You've heard a sermon, you've heard me talk about a whole bunch of things that you may not be familiar with, but I want to tell you something that you need to become familiar with. You may not be familiar with what I spoke about, but there's something that you do need to become familiar with, and that's God's love for you. He loves you so much. He cares for you. His love is reaching out to you today. I'm asking you to open up your heart. You're not here in this meeting today because that's the way life worked out for you. You're here today in God's calling and love for your life. This is what we're going to do in a moment. We're going to pray a prayer. It's a simple prayer that invites Jesus Christ to come into our lives, to be our Lord, be our friend, be our Savior, to forgive us of our past. And I'm going to ask everybody in the auditorium to repeat this prayer after me. Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes? Why don't you pray this after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I open up my heart to you. Come into my life and be my friend, be my Lord, be my Savior. I receive your forgiveness and your complete acceptance. I am now set free from my past. I am now a child of God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never prayed that prayer before, you did a long time ago, but you're reconnecting with the love of God. Right where you are, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. The reason why I want you to lift up your hand so that I can see you, is a couple of Horizon Church people that are also helping me to see. Sometimes it's difficult to see everybody, but I want to pray for you today right where you are. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you did a long time ago and you're reconnecting with the love of God, could you just kindly put up your hand so that I can see who you are? I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. Lift it up nice and high. God's love is reaching. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's awesome. God bless you, sir. Who else is there? Come on, that's about five people that have raised their hand. God bless you. That's awesome. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Lift it up nice and high. Once I've seen your hand, you can put it straight back down. Is there anyone else? I'd love the opportunity. God bless you. Thank you so much for your honesty. I really appreciate that. Who else is there? I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. So good, so good. Come on, about eight people have lifted up their hand. Why don't you be the ninth today? Say, that's me today. Come on, God's love is reaching out in Jesus' name. Anyone else? Just a few more seconds because I do need to move on with our meeting today. Anyone else? Lift it up nice and high. So, so good. Can we keep our heads bowed now, eyes closed? I'm going to ask all of those who raised their hand just a moment ago, in a second, to do it again. The reason why, I want to make sure that I don't miss out on anybody. Could you lift it up again so I can see your hand just one more time? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Keep it up. That's awesome. God bless you. God bless you. That's great. Keep it up. God bless you. God bless you as well. That's fantastic. Now you can put your hands down. Church, are we ready to pray for these people? Come on, Horizon Church. Are we ready to pray for these amazing people? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for these amazing people We speak blessing. We speak life. We thank you for new beginnings. We declare the word of God, which says, if any of us be in Christ, we are new creations. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We speak it and declare it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Can we give all of those who raised their hand a great clap of encouragement? How good is it?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.